Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones is off. And every time, I swear, every time, I feel like I'm just going to get right into it today. Every time that the Buffalo Sabres threaten to show some sort of promise, they do exactly what they did last night. And I know the fun thing was, like, you know, Jeremy said must win, and the open that Joe Calley made for that was also fantastic. But every time they do this, and this is not a this season exclusive, every time this core seems to showcase the promise, the potential that they have, it's the next thing you know, the wheels come falling off. Josh Norris shows up in the lineup, and he looks awesome, and it's fantastic. This team gets taken to the pasture by the Philadelphia Flyers. It's tough when it comes down to it. We'll talk with Sal Capaccio, by the way, coming up here in about 10 minutes or so, as we get ready for another practice for the Bills, as they get ready for the Cincinnati Bengals. 803-0550, the number to call. The question I've got today is, this Bills team's not the same as years past, but neither are the Bengals. Should you be that worried about Cincinnati this year, even with the return of Joe Burrow to the lineup? How concerned are you about the Bills versus the Bengals, and are you taking the years past into account? But last night, with the Sabres and how things went with them and the Flyers, it just goes to show they don't help out anybody. As a matter of fact, they don't help out the Bills. Because it would be nice to take a break from talking about the Bills. But every time, again, that the Sabres threaten to promise anything, what do we all see? 5-2 in Philly? Okay, that makes sense. All right, next. Back to the Bills. And it's a sad state of affairs. It really is. It is. I called it a crossroads yesterday. Paul Hamilton disagreed, saying that it's already happened. It's come and passed. and the Sabres went ahead and proved Paul right. So, yeah, that's it. All right. I think we're done with the Sabres today. There we go. Done. Because that's as much mention as they deserve. Moving on to the Bills and how things have gone here. This season has not been consistent for them as well. Obviously, yesterday they pick up Darius Slay. I was a little shocked by that. I'll ask Sal about that in a little bit as well. But this team is still trying to tinker with the roster throughout the rest of the season, and they keep trying things. A Buffalo general manager trying things. All right, anyway. The Bills, though, with this Bengals team, it's not a good history. At least with this iteration. But neither of these teams are constructed in the same way since the last time these two teams played in 2023. Since Josh Allen and Joe Burrow have faced off, they've only seen each other twice. Neither time has it worked for the Buffalo Bills. There's a third time that game does get canceled ultimately because of what happened to DeMar Hamlin. But the Bills never looked good against Cincinnati. And the big thing here, though, is even just a couple of years ago, Cincinnati had a really good defense going on with them with a smart defensive coordinator in Lou Amarillo. Joe, I need your help real quick here. Lou Amarillo? Amarillo?
Maybe. I'm not sure. I'm not looking at it.
Anarumo. There we go. I almost said Lou Lamarillo, and I like, no, that's not it. So anyway, Lou Lamarillo was the defensive coordinator for this Bengals team. They get rid of him, and things have cascaded so poorly for that Bengals defense over the last 2 years. Now this is a Bengals defense that you should be able to take advantage of. Now this is a Bengals squad that you should be able to handle business, return the favor to them. Because the Bengals became, after 2023, they became one of the bigger fears for Bills fans. Don't let the Bengals creep into the playoffs. The Bills don't match up well with Cincy. And ultimately, that kind of proves right. Cincinnati is the only other team not named Kansas City to make a Super Bowl. Cincinnati is the only team to accomplish anything other than the Chiefs. And they frustrated the Bills the last 3 times that they've seen them. Oddly enough, it's all within a calendar year, though. There's the matchup that gets canceled. And then a playoff game shortly thereafter. And then the next season within 2023, there's another matchup and they lose. The Bengals' biggest problem has been Burrow's health and availability, because that's how they've been missing the postseason so often. But this is not that Bengals team. This is a Bengals team that has managed to fall out of the graces of the AFC North. There's a non-zero chance that they can find their way to winning this division, because the AFC North has been at times pathetic this year. But this is where I go ahead and say, if you want to make sure to have everyone relax about the playoff hunt and being in the wild card picture instead of being at the top of the division, winning this game is going to be the one that matters. Winning this game is going to help you, because it's a nice test. Burrow's back. Jamar Chase is otherworldly. There is a thing or two that Cincinnati can do to frustrate you. How good is this defense, this Bills defense, against the pass, really? Is it just because teams love to run the football on them? It's clear they want to keep getting more secondary depth because they pick up Darius Slay. Both of these rosters have flaws to them. But Cincinnati has been so bad at keeping not just their players happy, but putting a roster out there that has kind of turned Burrow into a modern-day Drew Brees. Burrow is able to put up gaudy offensive numbers last year when he gets back in the lineup and he's healthy, and the Cincinnati Bengals defense decides, no, we're not going to help you at all, actually. And this year it's been more the same, even though Burrow's hurt. Joe Flacco gets traded from Cleveland, and he plays well. It was the right trade to have made, apparently, for Cincinnati to acquire Flacco. But the amount of times that the Bengals have lost and scored 30 points, it's a sad state of affairs for Cincinnati. And if there's an opportunity to keep them down and pacify anyone's remaining lingering fears about Cincinnati, this is the opportunity to do it. Their defense is not good. Buffalo has a chance to try to establish another game of being comfortable with some balance with the run and the pass. It's clear that's what Joe Brady wants to do with this offense. He wants it to have the balance. He wants it to have more of a run game to it. It's clear at this point. And now I've arrived to the take of, yeah, I don't care how it looks anymore. I don't care how it looks anymore. As long as they get the job done, that's really what's going to matter at this point. Mostly because we don't have a choice in the matter to even really worry about it. I mean, you can worry about it. It's just that there's nothing that can be done by the team about it until the offseason. That, unfortunately, doesn't make for good radio. So we do project about it. So we do think about these things. But by the time Sunday is going to roll around, I'm going to get back to, all right, just beat them. And when I said that about the Steelers game last week, that first half threatened me with, are you sure you don't care about how it's done? Are you sure that we really shouldn't worry about how the Bills win as long as they win? Because I'm going to show you a dreadful first half where nobody gets to have fun. And that's how that started last week. So, for me, be careful what I wish for. And if anyone's the same mindset there, like, who cares how they win, just win, careful what you wish for. Because we got a very clear warning about that against the Steelers. .805-50 is the number to call. Is there any concern? What's your level of concern with Bills and Bengals on Sunday? It's a rare 1 o'clock game, and as a matter of fact, as of right now, thanks to the adjustment to the schedule, it is an extra home 1 o'clock game. I am curious about that. I would imagine Bills-Jets ends up a 1 o'clock game to end the year. But as of right now, if it stands, this would be the last Sunday 1 o'clock home game at Highmark Stadium. And I know that that will hit people in a certain way. The next three games are 1 o'clock, by the way. Two of them are on the road. And again, I'd imagine Bills-Jets gets a 1 o'clock showing. But this is the last scheduled one right now. But back to the point here with Cincinnati and Buffalo and how things are with them. Maybe there should be a little bit of worry about how Cincinnati is able to play offensively, how explosive they are, and maybe there's an opportunity for a Bills-Tampa Bay game like earlier in the season. But I'm not as worried about Cincinnati as in years past because this is not the same Bengals team. And with that said,
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I feel like it's as good a time as any to bring in Sal Capaccio here on the Western Hotline. Sal, the last couple of meetings between the Bills and the Bengals have not gone Buffalo's way. Allen and Burrow is a little lopsided against the Bills, but there's not been a ton of opportunity to do anything about it. They don't see each other that often. Sal, the other thing about it is these are not the same iterations of the teams that faced each other a couple times in 2023.
No, that's right. I mean, every team changes, right? No doubt. I think for sure, though, that, you know, there's some scar tissue from, you know, the Bills playing the Bengals and Burrow over the last several years, several times, meaning specifically the DeMar Hamlin game was starting off where the Bengals looked like they were going to do whatever they wanted on offense. And, you know, the Bills responded, but there was a field goal in that game, if I remember right, the way it went, maybe 7-3. But if you remember the way that game went, like the Bengals just attacked the Bills right away. And they did a nice job and they scored a touchdown. Then they play that year in the playoffs in the snow. We all know what happened there. And, man, the Bills just had no answer for anything the Bengals wanted to do. And the Bengals were down offensive linemen. It didn't matter. Burrow was great that day. The next year, they go to Cincinnati again on a night game. And same result, basically, where the Bengals now, I think it was a little closer and back and forth a little bit. But, you know, the Bengals wound up beating the Bills there. So, yeah, I mean, those are the games that you remember. You go a little bit before that, I remember Dawson Knox's rookie year when he ran over like three people.
Yeah,
remember that?
That
he caught the ball.
2019, yes.
2019, right? Like, so, you know, the Bills have had some success against the Bengals. But yeah, since Burrow arrived, it hasn't gone their way.
It hasn't gone their way, but the main point of that being like how every team does evolve, Sal, it is also far more drastic within Cincinnati because the Bengals frustrated Buffalo not just with their offense and how they were a bit of a buzzsaw, but the Bills have not had the best success against Cincinnati with their own scoring ability. Obviously, things have changed. They changed the coordinator. They really are not investing into the roster on the defensive side of the football for a little while there. They've upset Trey Hendrickson. Now Hendrickson's been hurt. And it seems like it's a shell of what they were a couple of years ago defensively and part of the catalyst as to how it helped get them to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, Lou Anarumo was a really highly regarded defensive coordinator for them. I think that was surprising to a lot of people when they fired him. And where is he now? Indy, I think, right?
Yes, he's in Indianapolis.
Yeah, he's doing a nice job there. And, you know, they made some changes, and I think a lot of people were a little surprised there. I mean, let's be honest, their numbers are not great, you know, defensively this year. And I think that that's where, to your point, you know, the Bills need to try and take advantage of that, because this could be a game where you might have to keep up scoring-wise, because they do have Burrow and Chase, and we'll see about Higgins, and Chase Brown is really good. And their offensive line is much better, actually, the Bengals have been this year. So this might be a game where you have to be better than 18 points scored like they did a couple of years ago on that Sunday night, that the game that was played there and finished in Cincinnati. You're going to have to be better than what you did, you know, here at home. And finally, you know, maybe second half, it looked like a few things got going your way, but they didn't have anything really going on early on in that game. So no doubt, if you look at the Bengals' overall defense this year, they are playing better lately, though. If you get here from, like, Joe Goodberry was on with me and Matt Bove, and it's always game day in Buffalo, and he'll tell you, like, their EPA per play is a lot better lately, and there's some numbers. But, man, ready? I'll give you the overall numbers, and you could say this is just overall, and, of course, there's always context to this and nuance, but last in the league in total yards given up, last in the league in yards per play given up, second to last in the league in rushing yards per game giving up, totally dead last in the league in passing yards per game given up. I mean, the numbers are not good defensively, but the Bengals now have an opportunity here with Joe Burrow to say, heck with it, we're just going to go outscore you, and that's what they're trying to do. A few weeks ago, the Steelers offense, the one that we just saw, put up how many? 34 points on them?
Yes.
Right? I think that's what it was.
That is exactly what it was. Yeah, and it's getting to a point where, like, it is frustrating. And then before that Pittsburgh game, though, Sal, there is the Jets game where they lose 39-38, and the Bears game where they lose 47-42, including with Colson Loveland walk-off touchdown. Not walk-off, but he's the one that wins it late for them, and it's a touchdown that really should not have happened. The Bengals' defense has been frustrating in more ways than you can count this year, and this is an opportunity for the Bills to, if you have concerns about the passing attack, well, this might be a way for the offense to try to show, okay, we can still at least attack, and there's an opportunity to this weekend.
We'll see. We'll see what the weather is as well. Might play a factor into it. I just looked this morning. Right now, it's looking to be about 30 degrees for a high. Some snow in the forecast. Maybe not a lot of snow, but some. And we'll see. And sometimes it's not supposed to be a lot, and then all of a sudden a lot comes. They did hold the Ravens the 14 points a couple weeks ago and 10 days ago. Or, well, I guess a week ago tonight they played. And then they did hold the Patriots. Well, they lost 26-20, but they played better in that game. And yeah, I shouldn't say they held them to 26 points. They played better in that game, and that was without Burrow. So we'll see. But from a Bills perspective, they should, you know, feel good about what their offensive capability should be in this game. They just can't give the ball away like they have too many times this year, which is what's really cost them.
Sal, injuries, of course. Yesterday, Deion Dawkins, Spencer Brown, Dalton Kincaid practiced limited basis. Joshua Palmer, Terrell Bernard, Joey Bosa, all not practicing, and McDermott saying Bosa is week to week. That's another hit on a Bills defensive line that that you really don't want to see coming.
No, and their pass rush hasn't been that great lately. Teams are not feeling as much pressure. They're getting the ball out, and even like having more time to throw, I should say. So Joey Bosa is a notable loss, there's no doubt. You're going to have to find better ways to get to the quarterback. Sometimes, you know, when Burrow's had in these years, why he's had some injuries is he's taken some sacks. It's not always on him necessarily, but, you know, he wants to make a play. There's no doubt. He can move around a little bit. He's not Josh Allen, obviously, back there running, but if you can keep him in the pocket, you can get after him. But that's going to be a little more challenging this week if there's no Joey Bosa. And it looks like there won't be any Joey Bosa this week. So no doubt about that. So we'll see what the rest of the week holds for other injuries. But yeah, that side of the ball, they've had so many injuries this year. I actually am kind of impressed the way that they've kind of pieced things together here over the last few weeks, and they've been able to rally a little bit on that side of the ball to, you know, hold teams. Now, hasn't been perfect. You go back to the Houston game, the two-minute drill at the end of the half really hurt them, obviously. But I think ever since, for the most part, the second half of the Atlanta game, things started to turn a little bit. The Bills have been better. They just have not done enough offensively to make up for some of the issues that have happened on defense. They have not scored enough. And then obviously they scored on defense last week, which was a big help.
Sal, when it comes to it, though, I mentioned this stat, I do believe it was a couple weeks ago, with you as well, that Ed Oliver is still tied for second on this team in sacks. And unfortunately, Bosa is the one that's ahead of everybody, obviously. Losing your best pass rusher is never going to be good here. But it's time to get a little bit more from Greg Rousseau. Like, he has to step up, and it's not been there again this year where it's – he's mired with inconsistency once more this season.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I think that he has not had the level of play and production that you would have hoped. Now, I will say, I think he was dealing with some stuff early in the year, that was hampering him. He's gotten better. The last 1, 2, 3, 4 games, he has 2.5 sacks. So that's nice to see. I'm sorry, my fault on that. Let me just get the numbers here. Last 4 games, he's had 2.5 sacks. There you go. And that's good to see, but you know what? I'm looking at the wrong stat here again. I thought that was, he had a 4-week stretch of 2.5 sacks, but the last 4 games he has had nothing, and you need more from him. So I agree with you. Yes. My apologies. But it started to look like it was going better, and then it didn't go as well. In the last few games, it hasn't. I wonder if this is a game where we finally see Morgan Fox elevated from the practice squad. I think that's probably trending that way. They have to do something, Derek, without Joey Bosa, because they only have Rousseau, Epinesa, and Javon Solomon as 3 healthy defensive ends. So take Bosa out, which is most likely happening. You either have to elevate Morgan Fox, Shaq Lawson, or Andre Jones Jr. Well, Andre Jones Jr. just got re-signed. I mean, they pumped him off the roster for Shaq Lawson, so I wouldn't expect it to be him. Shaq Lawson is more of an edge setter. And Morgan Fox is more of a guy that can get after the passer a little bit. So the way I read it is you're probably going to see some of Morgan Fox this weekend. Maybe he can provide a little bit of a pass rush there. Ed Oliver, as you said, is still on IR. He's been, the Bills, best penetrator this year from the interior. They have right now 6 defensive tackles on the roster. They've been moving TJ Sanders from defensive tackle at the defensive end, which isn't ideal. I would expect that to continue a little bit here with Bosa's injury. So there's a lot of things they have to figure out up there.
There's a lot of things to figure out. And we'll talk a little bit more about this on the other side as we'll take a quick timeout. Sal, you'll be back with us in just a second here as well.
I will. I'll be right here, buddy.
That's right. And we'll take our timeout. Come on back here in the Norton Automotive Extra Point Show. Talk more with Sal Capaccio about Bills and Bengals. This is WGR. Welcome back into the Norton Automotive Extra Point Show. Derek Kramer here with you. Sal Capaccio here with us as well on the West Hurrah Hotline. As Bills and Bengals this weekend, Bills hopefully have a chance to move up and down a little bit. Hopefully not down. Hopefully moving up in the wild card seating. Sal, we talked about that yesterday, and it is more or less, make sure you're getting an X next to the name first before you worry about seating. But yesterday, Darius Slay. Didn't see that one coming, Sal.
I didn't either. I was pretty surprised by it. I mean, I'm still trying to conceptually think, like, what's his role? Other than you could just take the basic approach, which is might be right, which is, hey, they need veteran corner depth. He's a guy that's seen everything in the league. You're getting into the playoffs. Last year, you went into the Kansas City game, and Christian Benford gets hurt, and you have to put Kyrie Elam on the field. That didn't go very well. The other option was Jamarcus Ingram, and I think Jamarcus does a nice job, but he's more of a utility guy, right? So don't get in that situation. You have Darius Slay. If something were to happen, you have an extra boundary corner. I totally get that. Mm-hmm. I just don't know in the meantime, like how much he's playing and what his role is, because I don't think he's on special teams. And you could make him inactive. That's fine. That's Jamarcus Ingram's been inactive. But if he's going to be active, I think he's got to probably do that because he'll be a fourth corner. And if you're a fourth corner, you pretty much have to play special teams, fourth boundary corner. So we'll see. But another point brought up by Josh Reed, our buddy at Channel 4, he said, don't forget, he's also played against the Bengals twice already this year and against the Browns. I mean, at least you get a little bit of intel from a guy who's, gone through the preparation for those games. Now, I don't know if that would have anything to do with it at all, but, you could have a guy in the building like that. But anyway, I do find it interesting. The other part of it is, I think that they value Jamarcus Ingram and his utility, like I said, and now you risk losing him today. If some team claims Jamarcus Ingram, he's gone, and he goes there. If not, the Bills could re-sign him to the practice squad if they want to, and he chooses to do that. So, you know, we'll see a little bit later today if that happens.
Yeah, I do hope that the Bills manage to retain Ingram on this one, because like you said, he's a valuable depth piece for this team. And anytime he's had to take on a couple extra snaps, he's really seemed to be up for the occasion on that. So, like I said, I was a little surprised by that one, mostly because it's like I didn't see corner as a need at all on this team. It was one of the few positions I could look at comfortably and go, no, they're okay. And also, the snarky side of me could be like, wait, that's not a linebacker, or that's not a wide receiver. But, you know, snark aside on that sort of thing. But, Sal,
I don't think they need a linebacker, do you?
I mean, it's because of the injury to Bernard.
I think that, you know, no, I get it. I get your point.
And their run defense.
I would say if it was a safety, I would have been a little bit more like, okay, I understand.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, right now you have Jordan Poyer playing significant snaps at his age. You have Jordan Hancock, who feels like maybe they're not quite ready to put on the field as much right now. Cole Bishop's playing well. And then your fourth safety is really Sam Franklin, who's not a safety, he's a special teams guy, or Cam Lewis, who's really your backup to Taron Johnson, actually. So safety-wise, I agree. I guess I could get to linebacker if they needed, but that would the only way to me they'd need another linebacker is they really feel Bernard is out long-term. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it feels like that's not the case right now. Dorian Williams has played well when he's come in as a third linebacker. I think Matt Milano's playing better lately. And let's be honest, Shaq Thompson's done a really nice job.
Shaq Thompson's there. Become
the and then wide receiver's
defense,
the other one, but they did that as well. I mean, you know, they signed Brandon Cooks last week, so that's something that they did actually do last week. So They're trying to massage the roster as best as possible. I just think that it comes down to what I said the first time, which is it's probably corner depth. And when you say, like, and I agree with you, like, well, they seem like they're fine at corner. Right, until you have to actually get to your fourth corner. Then Are they really fine, right? And then that's when you go, okay, wait a minute. And I wonder, Derek, I wonder if last week when Max Harrison was in protocol, if that's when they said, you know what? Like, right now, if he was unable to play, what do we have? And maybe that got them to, we need to add a guy.
Maybe, and I do think that might be part of it, and it could be, like you said, we got to wait for later today, but if Ingram is able to slide through waivers, then you get the best of both worlds, which is you add a veteran corner on the outside, and you still keep your valuable depth with Ingram on the practice squad at that point. If they do choose to bring him back there, I would imagine they would want to, and I would imagine they would get that done. Because Ingram's been here for a couple of years now. He knows the game, and I think that he would be perfectly comfortable with remaining with this team, even if on the practice squad at the moment. Sal, speaking of corner, it still is a tall task for everyone on the outside there. I would imagine Christian Benford gets a healthy amount of Ja'Marr Chase this time around because he was shadowing DK Metcalf for a good amount of the game against Pittsburgh. I would imagine that he's going to get a much just as difficult, if not more difficult, task here with Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah, I'm interested to see if they actually put him on Chase the way they did DK. Totally different offense you're facing here.
Mm-hmm.
By putting him on Metcalf, you know, what other threats do they really have in Pittsburgh, right? You say, okay, Christian takes care of him and we can play kind of straight up the rest of the way. You got T. Higgins and you got Gesicki and you got a good running back in Chase Brown. And I wonder if they do it. I wouldn't be surprised. But I just wonder if they want to go that route. The other thing they could do is, I've seen teams do this, if T. Higgins plays, by the way, he's in protocol.
Right.
If they put Benford, you could put Benford on T. Higgins, and then you could kind of double team Ja'Marr Chase and, you know, shade a safety to him, wherever he is. I think this is a kind of game where you might just play straight up and, like, whichever side the guy is on. You just have to play good, solid defense. So we'll see. It really is interesting, though, you know, how they've done it with Benford, how they did it last week. It is a totally different offense they're playing this week, and I wonder if they'll go with the same, you know, type of philosophy.
All right, Sal, I think for this last one, I want to get a little sentimental here, mostly because we get to revisit this question. A couple weeks back, we had said it was the last scheduled 1 o'clock game for the Bills at Highmark Stadium. We get to revisit this conversation again because they moved this game to 1 o'clock. Sal, it's more or less because of the fact that we are seeing the last times of this building with such a integral time slot for a large majority of that building's existence.
Yeah, so when the schedule came out and you see Bills-Bengals 4:25 p.m., you're like, all right, like this is going to be a highlight game of the schedule that week. By the way, Very interesting and odd. This game, two AFC teams, is on Fox this week.
Yes. Okay?
It was always on Fox. It wasn't changed to Fox when it went to 1 o'clock, so everybody knows. Fox had this game as a 4:25 game. It was going to be their national window game. And then the Bears started to win games. And the Packers are winning games.
And Burrow got hurt early in the year.
And what's that?
And Burrow got hurt early in the year, yeah.
And Burrow got hurt early in the year. That's right. That's exactly right. And the Bengals weren't as good. And because it's Fox, and it's the NFC, and it's the Bears and the Packers in the longest rivalry in this sport, Fox said, we're putting that game on as our national window game. So they moved the Bills game against the Bengals to 1 p.m., which is traditionally, for many years, where most home games live for the Buffalo Bills, at 1 p.m. So now you have a 1 p.m. game against Cincy at home, which we don't know the Week 18 schedule yet. My guess is the Jets will be 1 p.m., but if the Bills are fighting for seeding, they could definitely put that at four in the 4 o'clock window to be opposite another team they're fighting with. You know how that works, right? They don't want a team to play before another team and know their know their outcome and all that. So as
especially
of right now,
that's the Chargers.
What's that?
Especially if that's the Chargers.
That's right. If it's a West Coast team, right? Yeah. If it's a West Coast team, it could be anybody. But you're right, Broncos, whatever. Mountain time for them. But you're right, Chargers would be the most likely there. So let's just say that the Jets game is 1 o'clock. There's two left there, but we don't know that. So this might be the last scheduled 1 p.m. game at the stadium. And now, because it looks like the Bills aren't going to win the division, that Jets game would be the last game at the stadium, unless you win a couple playoff games as a 5 or 6 seed or something like that, as a 5 or 6 seed, and then the 6 or 7 seed are still alive for the AFC Championship to come to your place.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, Sal, where it can get a little sentimental for a lot of fans, because especially with the large majority of the 17 years, the playoff drought, Sunday 1 o'clock became a staple for a lot of people there. So it's noteworthy that we get to talk about this again and have another chance to talk about it here, because we don't know what Week 18 is going to bring to us. But what we do know is, as of right now, this is that last scheduled 1 o'clock game at Highmark Stadium. And do you have any good memories of that sort of thing? Obviously you have been to tons of stadiums now, you've seen tons of experiences, you've been on the sideline and been to as many Bills games that people can't even count at this point, just on the job though. But do you have any memories of 1 o'clock games that really stick out to you?
Well, back in the day, sound old when I say that, when the Bills started their Super Bowl run of the 4 straight years, the first ever playoff game inside this stadium was Houston Oilers at Buffalo Bills, not the comeback game. It was 1988 and it was New Year's Day, and the Bills won 17-10 in that day. And I believe that was an early 1 p.m. start, because back then it was a 12:30 start actually. So I'm a little history lesson for you, Derek, because you're a little
there
younger. Back in those days, the NFL just basically played 12:30 and 4 o'clock for playoff games. There was none of this 4 o'clock, 8 o'clock. The advent of the night playoff game came about later, over the last several years, 10 years, whatever it's been. But back then, that's what I remember. I remember the 1 o'clock playoff games when the Bills were going to Super Bowls. And when you went to the stadium and it was cold and some snow, but sunny. And that was that day. And on that particular game, the Bills beat the Houston Oilers 17-10. And of course it was. The game was won because Steve Tasker forced a fumble on a special teams punt. And that's how they won the game. The Oilers were getting the ball back 17-10. Oilers getting the ball back. Curtis Duncan was the punt returner. And Steve Tasker, who was Curtis Duncan's roommate at Northwestern, by the way, strips him. Bills recover. They win 17-10. Do you know what happened the very next week? It was Bills at Bengals AFC Championship game.
Oh, wow. And then
the Bills lost 21-10 to Icky Woods and the Bengals.
And, well, they'll get the Bengals here. By the way, Sal, 17-17, the total career record between these two teams throughout their history. So,
ooh.
Yeah.
I was just looking at that. Let me see. Hold on. Good call. I just pulled this up here. Are you counting playoffs?
Yes, it counts playoff games. There are 3 postseason games. The all-time series with postseason games is tied 17-all. So one of these teams, oh God, there could be a
tie. Right.
I can't go ahead and guarantee that, because I'll next thing I'll eat my words. But ideally, you'd hope that the Bills take the all-time series lead after this weekend.
Three times these two teams have played in the playoffs, and the Bengals have won all three.
Ooh, nah. Well, hey, good news. This is not one of those.
No, that's right. This is a home game, 1 o'clock, and yeah, it'll be a 1 o'clock game. So somebody even yesterday tweeted me, said, I thought the game was at 425. So, folks, if you bought a ticket early in the year for that 425 start, please don't wait until 3 o'clock to go to the game or whatever you normally do. I don't know. You know, please make sure you're there early.
Make sure you're there early.
It's 1 o'clock.
Or if you're going, if you're proceeding like it's a 4 o'clock game, get there exactly on time, and then you'll still be on time.
That's right.
If you go. If you tend to go early enough. Sal?
You'd be like, you're driving in like, what is all this traffic?
Oh, my God, what's going on here? What do you mean they're 30 minutes to kick off saying on the radio? Yeah. What? So that would be interestingly chaotic. Sal, we'll let you go, though. Tomorrow, I know you'll be speaking with the coach here on this very show.
I will. Sean McDermott's going to join me tomorrow. Also tomorrow, by the way, it's a Buffalo Football Friday, but you know we'll do our usual thing with Sean McDermott as well as Pat Hammer, obviously. He'll be giving us a weather update. Tomorrow, also going to talk to UB men's head basketball coach George Halkovich, because there's a monster college basketball game Saturday, St. Bonaventure at UB, coming up at Alumni Arena. So we'll talk with him for a few minutes about that as well.
Yeah, Sal, you and I are going to be talking a little bit about that, because I've got Bob Gaughan for Sports Talk Saturday as well to talk that game in a little bit of detail. So that'll be fun to really pay attention to, though, as well over the weekend as well.
Yeah, you got it, buddy.
All right. Sal Capaccio there on the West Her Hotline. As we get you ready for Bills and Bengals for this weekend here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Don't forget to tune in to WBEN 930 and The Wolf Buffalo on Thursday, December 11th from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. for the...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
SPCA serving Erie County Radiothon, presented by Trocare College. Do your part and help raise money for the over 12,000 animals being served by the SPCA each year, and give them a chance at a healthy, happy life. Each year, this year, the donation adoption fees for pets 6 months and older are half off. A big thanks to Picasso's Pizza and Paula's Donuts for fueling our volunteers this year. We'll take time out, wrap up hour number one here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Derek Kramer here with you. This is WGR. Don't forget that Tailgate Trivia is back, presented by Total Sports Enterprises Buffalo. Listen during every Bills game for your chance to call in, answer the trivia question, and win autographed Bills merchandise courtesy of TSE Buffalo. And also make sure you're not calling the number before the question's asked. We've seen that happen a couple times. I know Joe and I, we work these games. We know what happens. Some of you try to get ahead of it. Don't do that. My favorite, though, was when Nate will come up with the question and you're just like, are you sure that's not tough enough? I could never do it. I am terrible with even creating trivia. I am terrible at answering within a time frame about things. I still get things wrong anyway. Like, that's just what happens. I'm a person. I'm human. I'm not an encyclopedia. I know that. I know my strengths and weaknesses at this point.
You know what they say, though? Shoot for the moon. Even if you miss, you land amongst the stars.
That is more correct. But not at the same time. You should just be shooting for the stars, which is a loftier goal, and you can end up on the moon instead. That's better. Or it's easier, I should say. And it's a loftier goal, shooting for the stars. Do you know how far away the stars are, Joe?
93 million miles away from Earth.
Yeah, if you shoot for the moon, you're not making it to the stars.
Yeah. Don't come at me. That's a long time quote.
Yeah. It's wrong. It's incorrect. You're not amongst the stars. You're just still in the Milky Way. You're with one star. It's the sun. The end. That's it. Not plural. We'll come back. 803-0550 the number to call. Do you have any nerves about this Bengals game? Did Pittsburgh make you feel better? Worse? Anything of the sort here? This is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I'm Derek Kramer. You're listening to WGR. Hour number two of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Derek Kramer here with you. Zach Jones, he's out for a little bit on a vacation. Good for him. Snowed a lot overnight. Not cool. That was interesting to wake up to. Obviously, hopefully you're driving safe out there. 803-0550 the number to call. As Bills and Bengals this Sunday, these two teams are not the same as they were a couple years ago. But is the scar tissue there for you as a fan worrying about the Bengals and how often it has looked like they are not a good match for the Bills? And anything else on the table for you as well, 803-0550, the number to call. Talking about how this game might really help the Bills out in terms of playoff seeding and everything that could be going on here with this team, I'm genuinely curious as to if they can get something done in terms of a pass rush. It is very frustrating to me that this team cannot get consistency in the pass rush, even with Joey Bosa healthy in the lineup. Bosa's injured. He's out week to week. And, well, I mean, Bosa's had a career where he has injury concerns. He has had a career where he does have these little issues of, like, he'll pick up an injury or two and he'll miss a couple of games. That's unfortunately been a lot of what he has had happen in his career. As long as it's not a season-threatening type of injury, get him back ready for the playoffs healthy. That's all it is. He's currently week to week, according to head coach Sean McDermott. Get him back healthy. Why? Because you're getting nothing else from the rest of the defensive end depth chart. And Greg Rousseau is obviously the biggest name here. He signs an extension. He has gone four games without a sack. He had a nice four-week stretch before that. It just seems like Rousseau continues to be mired in inconsistency when he was supposed to be seen as like one of the primary benefactors for Bosa's arrival this year. You know, maybe you're not facing the left tackle or the best pass blocker constantly, because then that's where Bosa's probably going to line up, or he might be able to exploit the matchup and blocking might have to shuffle a little bit. Like, Bosa will be the one to get the chip, not Rousseau. And yet, Rousseau still has three sacks on the air, which is as many as Ed Oliver in three games. And if you're going to face a team like the Bengals that has a Ja'Marr Chase, a legitimate problem, you need pass rush to help you with the pass coverage on this. There needs to be help. You cannot expect for Christian Benford, Trey White, Max Harrison, newcomer Darius Slay, anyone to be guarding Jamar Chase or T. Higgins for long portions of time and not expect them to get open eventually if the pass rush is not getting home. I'd imagine the Bills might cook up a couple blitzes or two based on the fact that Bosa's out, might try to generate some pressure from other places. But that's going to be something I'm looking for in this game. Can you generate pressure? Can you get things done? And maybe that will turn into part of the recipe in winning this game. The offense is still inconsistent as it is. They've kind of shouldered a little bit of the blame for a majority of the Bills' four losses this year. And you've got to be able to step up here because the Bengals' defense, while it has played a little better over the past couple weeks, is still infuriating beyond belief. They're not a team that defensively is going to give you many issues, especially because of the fact that their first-round pick, Shamar Stewart, has not had a sack since last year, September, in his final season at Texas A&M. And Trey Hendrickson has missed, I do believe, four games in a row now. He might miss his fifth straight. They don't have a lot of investment in on the defensive side of the ball, and it shows. You should, offensively, be able to get yourself in a groove and at least stay up and keep up with Cincinnati if they are in for another buzzsaw-type game. But what the Bills cannot get away with is relying on the defense to really help bail them out this year. Or this week, I should say. This is not the time to do that. It's kind of funny. Both of these teams do have an interesting parallel where their top-tier pass rusher is out for this game. Hendrickson, four sacks on the year in only seven games played. So, yeah, there's a little bit there to where it might be a very favorable thing for the Bills if they don't have to deal with Hendrickson on the other side of the football. But the offense needs to be able to keep up this time around and have a little bit more consistency to their game. You can't get away with it like you did with Pittsburgh because they are a punchless team. Jamar Chase is a problem. He almost has 1,000 yards already on the season in 11 games. T. Higgins is just as problematic. If he is out of concussion protocol for this game, it's an issue. But this is an opportunity, though, for the offense in a little bit of a get-right type of game. For the passing offense to get right. Even if Spencer Brown and Deion Dawkins are out due to injury again, both of them practiced limited yesterday. But if you don't have them, it's not like the Cincinnati Bengals have a pass rush of world enders. You should be able to make things work. You should be able to make things work. But if the offense can't have consistency here against a Bengals defense that is really offering you the opportunity for a get-right game and to really showcase the balance, it's going to turn up the heat again on an offensive coordinator that has seen a little bit of the ire this year of Bills faithful. The flack will be on the general manager again for a depleted offensive roster in terms of the outside because Joshua Palmer's banged up. And you haven't gotten much out of Keon Coleman. You got a touchdown out of him last week. but you haven't gotten much out of Coleman. You aren't using Shakir in the right way. There's a lot of frustrations with the Bills' offense. But this is the opportunity. This is when you have to get it done. But the Bengals are going to present a unique sort of problem here for you. And the problem is you have to keep up. I'm just going to, if the defense is able to step in and take care of a couple drives, good on them. I'm not going to expect them to play with the consistency that they have since the bye week. Mostly because it's really not fair to ask of. But the Bills have shown this year they can get into shootouts if they need to. Tampa Bay is one of those games. Kansas City is one of those games. Their offense can do this. It's the consistency in which they do that has become the most frustrating part of this season. Because for every Tampa Bay game, there's a Houston performance. For every complete game that you have control against Kansas City, there's the Miami loss. And it's really been like this all year for them. There's a couple of games where you really see that, okay, the offense is not even playing their best game. They're scoring 30 points. But ever since New England, that consistency has been gone in terms of the scoreboard. In terms of really being able to get out there and take control of the game. Hopefully, against Cincinnati, you have a chance for the offense to look a little bit more complete. Allen had 123 passing yards. Part of it in the second half is because you didn't have to necessarily. Because the Steelers just refused to defend a certain type of running play. But there needs to be more consistency from an offense that has last year's MVP. Especially because of the fact that you had the same coordinator. So, what's going on? The other thing that you need to look for, though, here is, or at least I'm looking for, is where are they in the standings? Because the Bills do have a chance to move up the ladder. They are the 7th seed. They are in a playoff spot. But you want it to be a little better than this. And currently the way that they're losing right now in terms of tiebreakers is conference games. Conference win percentage. The Chargers currently sitting in the 5th seed at 7-2 in the conference. The Colts only a half game up on you, 6-3 in the conference as they played one more game within the AFC than Buffalo has. But right under them, Houston, you would lose that tiebreaker too, if not just for the head-to-head. And typically when teams are tied for record, they don't use head-to-head anymore. They use conference schedule and conference record. So the Bills need to get things done. There could be some moving, though, because of the fact that there are a couple teams with some interesting matchups here this weekend. One of them being the 6th seed Indianapolis Colts, along with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Colts-Jaguars at 1 o'clock this weekend on Sunday. And the Colts are in a bit of a free fall. With Daniel Jones dealing with the leg injury and the fact that they have not been able to find their game and also having to go through the gamut in terms of one of the hardest schedules to end the rest of the season. Meanwhile, Jacksonville's taking advantage of that fact. They've overtaken Indianapolis for the AFC South. Both of these teams are going to try to fend off the Houston Texans, who are currently one game behind at 7-6. But whoever wins this game is going to have a nice leg up on the other in terms of the AFC South and how they can manage to get things done from there. Because both teams are 2-1 in their division. you have a chance to really get a leg up here and fight for that seeding. What does that do for the Bills? Well, not much, because both of these teams would have pretty similar conference records at that point. The Colts with a loss, though, would actually give Buffalo an advantage. And I do think Indy's going to lose. They have been in a free fall. They're not as good on the road, and they have been a little bit of a problem to themselves. I know a game that a lot of people are going to watch with a vested interest, Steelers and Ravens. A clash of 6-6 Titans. No, not those Titans. They have nowhere near six wins. Steelers and Ravens, I'm not sure what's going to happen here. I mentioned how Indy has a tough schedule. Baltimore might have one that's worse. Baltimore's schedule to end the year is the Steelers, a division game, the Bengals, a division game, the Patriots, the Packers, and the Steelers again. So this matchup against Pittsburgh is really going to help determine what's going to happen with the AFC North in terms of what Baltimore is able to do. As for the Steelers, they are just middling incarnate. They're not a team that should be taken seriously, and yet they've been in the top spot of the North, mostly because of Baltimore's failures this year. Not anything to do with how the Steelers play themselves. It's because the Ravens got off to such a dismal start after playing through a buzzsaw to start the year. They took advantage of a soft underbelly in the middle of the season, and then Baltimore's now got to deal with one of the tougher schedules to end it as well. Or at least division-laden. But people that are afraid of Baltimore, I can't really join you there. It's not just because the Bills have their number in the playoffs. Past results do not guarantee future outcomes. It is because of the fact that the Ravens are not good this year. They are a team that on paper they should be better than what they're supposed to be and what they actually are. But no, they're not. They just don't live up to their potential. They continue not to live up to their potential. And if not for the Bills' own failures there, a light would be shined brighter on Baltimore because of it. Other games within the playoff picture that people are going to be paying attention to, I mean Sunday Night Football. Chiefs-Texans. The Houston Texans could put all but the coffin in the Kansas City Chiefs this year. Chiefs might be without both of their starting tackles against Houston. And I'm pretty sure everyone remembers that game between the Bills and the Texans where Allen sacked 8 times. The Texans' defensive line waits for nobody. And that defense has been so good, it's carrying them back to life here in a chase for a playoff spot. Houston's the team I don't want to deal with. Mostly because if you're going to be facing Houston, it's likely going to be in Houston. And that place has become a disaster for Buffalo. Yes, I know. Past outcomes don't guarantee what the future is going to have. But that doesn't mean that I'm not scared of them because of that. I'm scared of them because their defense is that good. Similarly, Denver is that team. Denver, like Houston, is one that I don't know what's going to happen here. Denver faces the Raiders. We all know good for Denver. That's going to be an automatic win. The Raiders are a joke. Good for you. The Chargers, though. Monday night, they've got the Eagles. A ticked-off Eagles team that is inconsistent in their own right. Justin Herbert is dealing with injury to his left hand. He just had surgery on it. He's going to try to play through it. He's day-to-day. I don't know if that's the best of ideas, but they're fighting for their playoff lives just like Buffalo, just like Indianapolis, just like Houston. So Justin Herbert is going to keep playing. And I don't know if it's the right call for them. I just know that that is an interesting one, to say the least. But that's the look at the teams playing when they're playing and how things are going to shake out from there for the AFC playoff picture. Hopefully, though, the Bills just take care of business on their own first and foremost. It is tough. that they are not amongst the division leaders because they are so good at home. But if you can at least get yourselves into more favorable position, maybe playing against whoever wins the AFC North, well, you have a chance to do some more damage to that division this weekend as well. We'll take an early timeout here. We'll come back and look more into how the Bills match up against the Bengals. Why is it that there's a little bit more optimism from me about Cincinnati, despite the fact that this team does not have success against the Bengals as of late? Are you ready to take your tailgate, your game day tailgate to the next level? Enter online now at WGR550.com for your chance to win a $300 tailgate tray certificate from Alibaba Kebab to feed 12 football fans. Every Friday, a winner is announced. During Football Friday with Shop and Bulldog, fire up your taste buds at any of their three locations. Welcome back in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Derek Kramer here with you as the snow has been in, out, on your car, on the roads. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. Unfortunately, it's everywhere. We're here. It's December. Get used to it, right? Bills against Bengals on Sunday here. And I do think that there's plenty of opportunity. I'm not scared of Cincinnati. Am I scared of the Bills? Yeah, kind of. 803-0550 is the number to call here as, again, phone lines are open. If you want to jump in here, get in here. There is a reason, though, for a little bit of optimism. Why? I just mentioned it. We've hit December. Do you know what that means? That means that the Bills will refuse to lose games within this month.
Well, we
typically,
hope. Typically. Those teams that have done that, in my opinion, have been a little better than the one we currently have.
They've been a little better.
Hopefully they can go on a run.
Hopefully this team does not show that they are different in a bad way, because if they lose one, it's fine. Like, if they lose a game in December, I'm not worried about it. Because, you know, nobody's perfect. But Cincinnati, New England, Cleveland, Philadelphia, you better look out. Because Buffalo is 18-3 in December since 2020. A majority of you, of those four teams, are not going to have a good time. My bet is probably that New England wins somehow because everything is miserable this season.
New England beats the Bills?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I listen, like Howard picked the Bills yesterday, and that's the one game he picked to drop for the Bills. He had them beating the Eagles, but the Eagles also don't know what to do with themselves at this point. So
that still would put you ultimately
12-5,
but also it would still only give you four losses within the month of December if you run it like that, if you run chalk.
And realistically, I mean, looking at a 12-5 record, is that bad?
No, it's not bad. It's just not what you expected for the year, and it's still kind of a disappointment. It's also, if you end up 12-5 on the season, it does mean that you once again put yourself into an on-fire end to your season. Say you win five of your last six to end the year, including the Pittsburgh game. It comes back to, all right, so the Bills are just the same old Bills right now. The only difference is that the same old Bills don't have their usual playoff bugaboo in the playoffs with them. I'm going to go ahead and say it. Kansas City ain't making it. I'm calling my shot.
No.
Now.
Are you kidding me? They're playing the Texans this week.
Are you kidding me? They're playing the Texans this week.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think they're making it. I'm agreeing with you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. 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 No.
I thought you were disagreeing with me there.
No, that might have come off like that.
When you
I realized.
Said, are you kidding? I thought you were asking me if I was kidding that I'm calling my shot now. Kansas City's not making it.
No, I was calling that shot last month. I'm so ready for the Chiefs to not make the playoffs. If the Bills are going to be miserable and, you know, go out in the wild card, I'd love to, for the Chiefs just to not make it in. See what Nick Wright has to say, all those guys, right?
Like, they will be dunking on him left, right, and center.
It'll be
on
interesting
that.
To see, though, what the national media conversation would be around the Chiefs at that point. We've already started seeing some of it a little early, in my opinion. We were talking about this a little bit yesterday.
Kansas City's conference. So I mentioned conference record, right? Mm-hmm. How that is a primary tiebreaker when you're dealing with non-head-to-heads. Kansas City is 10th because they have a worse conference record than even the Steelers.
Yeah, they don't have any tiebreakers their favor.
The tiebreaker they have is the Indianapolis Colts. You have it against one team. You lose to Houston, you're dead.
Well, in the
Miami
Colts,
has a better chance probably to make the playoffs at that point than you do, because Miami has at least not lost to every single team within the wild card race.
In the Colts' current predicament, though, they could get run out by the Texans if the Texans get hot here.
Yeah, it's not the Chiefs that the Colts should be worrying about at this point. It's Houston.
Yeah, and you have an injured Daniel Jones with a fractured fibula still, and he's not able to escape the pocket like he normally would be. And teams can just sell out against the run with Jonathan Taylor and throw a pass concept in the right? Like,
yeah,
they're able to defend now because you lose a little bit of the edge you had with Daniel Jones before the injury. So if I'm a Colts fan, and I know our own Trevor Howard is.
We have a Colts fan within this building.
Rush Hour Howard on the traffic reports on our sister station, WBEN.
Trevor's not doing good.
He texted us in our group chat earlier this week and legitimately mentioned Colts losing out
actively
for the season. It's over. Don't talk to me. It's done.
He's actively having a bad time.
Yes.
And that's most Colts fans probably right now, seeing the season slip away from them after they had the what are you start to the season. And it's showing right now. What are you? I don't know. But it's all about trending. The Bills have been consistently inconsistent this year. That's who they are. That's kind of how it's been, especially out of the bye week. You've been a little bit of an erratic pattern. That's your team right now, but you have enough wins as a leeway that if you remain inconsistent throughout the rest of the year, 11-6 probably gets you into the playoffs. And I'm talking about the worst case scenario type for the Bills here. You're like losing two games in your final five. It doesn't look all that great. But the funny thing about it is why I'm calling the Chiefs dead. The Bills have the tiebreaker on head-to-head over the Chiefs. The Bills have the conference tiebreaker over the Chiefs. And sitting at 11-6 would mean the Chiefs would have to run the table and still get the door slammed in the face by the Bills. That would be golden. If Kansas City were to, say, run the table on this season and then still get their face slammed by the door as they're trying to make their way to the playoffs. Yes, I know. Don't ever call a team dead until they're mathematically eliminated. No, Kansas City does not have good odds at all at this point. The Bills were 6-6. I know. The Bills also really made it through their pathway with the division. It almost very much a couple years ago turned into you win the division or you're missing the playoffs entirely. Kansas City is at, you need to make a wild card because you're not catching Denver. They're four games back of Denver. And yes, they play Denver again, but still, the fact that you see the Chiefs four games back from their division, they have to make it through a wild card, and they do not have tiebreakers on anybody. If they beat Houston, obviously the story changes. But I don't think they do. I think that Kansas City, playing without two of their starting tackles, with an offensive line that's already bad, going into Houston, with the way that that defense is playing, good night, sayonara. Hope to never see you dealing with the playoffs again. And it's not like Houston's got like a bunch of world enders to end the season either. You've got the Chiefs, Cardinals, Raiders, Chargers, Colts. But more concerning is the amount of points that their defense allows. Over their last five games, the Houston Texans have allowed 20 points or more once. I can actually extend that to their last six games. They've allowed more than 20 points once. The Texans really are the team to look out for here. Especially if they take over the division. Knowing that Buffalo would have a chance that they would be traveling to Houston, I don't love that. But the other thing that's working for the Texans this year is their magic with one-score games. They've been relatively successful after the start of the season in terms of one-score games. But their defense is otherworldly. That is the thing. They have an elite trait to them. Kansas City's not good at anything this year. That's why you're sitting at 6-6. The Bills, at least, are still a top 10 offense, and they're still, at least numbers-wise, showing up. But I do think it's safe to call Kansas City dead. And as a hater, good riddance. Indy's the interesting one to look at. Obviously, Baltimore and Pittsburgh, whoever fights to win the AFC North is going to be something to look at. But for the most part, you're looking at, well, realistically, Kansas City needs to win out to have a chance to make the playoffs. And I don't see that happening. They're not good enough this year. It's funny. I saw, granted, it's First Take, so take this for what you will. But I think I saw something about a segment where Dan Orlovsky's talking about maybe the Dolphins can make the playoffs over the Chiefs. Okay. I mean, I believe it right now this season with how things are going for them. Yeah, I don't really see a pathway for Kansas City to make it at this point. They're not. Of course, winning against Houston would make me eat my words. And it wouldn't be the first time. I know I could say things that are not correct. That's kind of the game sometimes. But I trust Buffalo more than I trust Kansas City. That's for sure. I trust Houston a heck of a lot more than I do Kansas City. This year still, it really is so weird. If there's a season where the Bills are like the 6 or 7 seed and then Baltimore and Kansas City in its entirety miss the playoffs, it all of a sudden turns into, yeah, remember that dangerous trio of the AFC? Yeah, that's done with. That's probably going to be the narrative of the offseason. I mean, it's probably going to be the narrative anyway.
Yeah, the godfathers of the AFC are no more.
It's more or less like there's a seismic shift going on within the conference and how things have gone at this point.
You know what I'd be intrigued to see, Derek? And I was thinking about this yesterday. Will Drake May have the same slump after the high year, right? Technically, I know he's already a sophomore.
It's so a sophomore
it wouldn't
slump.
Necessarily yeah, be a sophomore slump, but he finally has the coach, right? Jaden Daniels has a great season. Caleb Williams in his sophomore season having a great season. When they get tape on these guys in their system currently with their better coach, could you see a slump, if you will, right? Like, I think that's a very real possibility. We've seen that. With quarterbacks who really kind of show out for the first time, they kind of do regress in the second year.
For me, it's going to be, how does New England respond next year with a first-place schedule?
Yeah.
That's what it's going to be to me. That's where I'll see of like, hold on, let's not go ahead and start crowning the Patriots all of a sudden as they're all the way back. They're back this year.
Well, and they might not even be. If the Bills play them in the wild card or something, they could knock them out in the first round, and then the top seed of the AFC East means absolutely nothing at that point.
Exactly.
Right?
There's still a way for this to turn into not quite the similar fears of which of like, oh, New England's all the way back. Having the reminder that the Bills are fantastic in December. If they do go on this kind of run that they're normally used to, then it becomes same old Bills. Same old Bills has been ended by one team. Almost exclusively. But this is also not going to be same old Bills because they're going to have to be on the road. Get connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Alan tweeting in, Bills beating the Bengals 34-23. He's calling his shot there. And that the Colts will be the Jaguars of 2023, where they were 7-2, and then they finished 9-8 to miss the playoffs. I do think that that might be the Colts are turning into the pumpkin. I do really think that that's going to be the worst-case scenario here for how things go for Indianapolis. It's not looking good for them anymore. And it's not looking like the start of their season and how the potential started for them. Does it stink that Daniel Jones has a fracture in his leg? Absolutely. Did you really trust them all the way throughout anyway, though? No, probably not. Because we were all asking through the start of the season, what are the Colts? Because before New England took over the number one spot, it was Indianapolis. And we're all sitting here like, of course, this is the year that the Bills have a chance at the one seed, the most realistic chance of the one seed, and Indianapolis is refusing to lose for some reason. Well, nope, it just swapped out for New England. Go to the phones here. Jim in Cheektowaga, welcome into the Extra Point Show. What you got for us?
Hey, guys. So I'm listening to all this talk about Kansas City, and I have not heard it. I could be wrong, though. But I don't think anyone's brought up the point that they're not going to make four Super Bowls in a row now. And that's what I was concerned about at the beginning of the season. So we still hold that record, even though they're all losses. But
hey, you know what?
That record.
Jim, I appreciate that, though, of that attitude more or less of like, I mean, it's still ours. So take that. Like, you take the wins where you get them. As a certified hater, I totally understand where you're coming from on that. Like, take that, Chiefs. You're not taking even the last thing that you could take from the Bills at this point. You've already dished out so much misery to the Bills and their fan base at this point that it's already one of those things where, like, oh, great, they can have won four straight conference championships just like the Bills. Nope. And you know what's even the better part about this? You know what's even better about that, Jim? That the Chiefs are very likely not making their fourth Super Bowl in a row now? You know who helped put them down there this year? The Bills. I got my wish in a very, very different way. Joe, do you remember at the start of the year when I said, I'm the sicko. I want to be the one that puts Kansas City down in the playoffs. I want it to be Buffalo.
Yeah, you're right. They indirectly did, I guess. Well, they directly did, but, you know, in the regular season, so it wasn't in the playoffs.
It is more of an indirect way. The scenario I talk about of, like, Kansas City has to win out, and I think that at worst the Bills finish 11-6. Tiebreaker means the Bills would slam the door in Kansas City's face.
Yeah. Yeah. They could be the ones to do it. That
could
be the funniest thing.
They could be the ones to do it. And it's like Scar with Mufasa in The Lion King, spoiler alert, of just he's sitting there and he's just smug like it's finally happening. Digs his claws into the paws of Mufasa and says his monologue. Yes, I know the Bills haven't won diddly squat compared to the Chiefs, but, you know, it still would be nice to slam the door in their face. Do we got time for one more? I think we got time for one more. We'll go to Jay in Hamilton. Jay, welcome to the show. What you got for us?
I love the love hate talk of the Chiefs. Here's my hidden nightmare. The Chiefs are going to lose out. Okay.
Yep.
They're going to get a top 10 pick. Pick a revolutionary wide receiver. Probably trade back into the first round again. And then we got another 5 years of dominance because they've got Patrick Mahomes. I think my nightmare might be coming true. I will let you know how it turns out again. So stay tuned, my friend.
Jay, thanks for that nightmare fuel. Appreciate that. Really cool. Thanks. But in all seriousness, I don't think that that nightmare fuel ends up happening, more or less because of the fact that the Chiefs still are as inconsistent as they've been this year. I don't think they're going to finish with a top 10 pick because the Jets, Browns, Raiders, Titans, Giants, Saints, Cardinals all exist. And the Falcons are there. By the way, that's the Rams having that first round pick, by the way, scary enough. The Vikings are 4-8. Washington's 3-9 this year. Yeah, there's too many teams in the way, I think, for Kansas City to make a top 10 selection. So there's your good news, Jay, allowing you a little bit of respite from your nightmare. And we'll see what happens the rest of the way there. But I don't think Kansas City's going to end up finishing that poorly at this point. Just as I think it's as unlikely that Kansas City makes the playoffs. They're going to be that mediocre team that finishes this year picking 17th or 18th. Who knows? Anyway, we'll take a timeout, wrap things up on the other side here on the Norton Automotive Extra Point Show. But don't forget to tune in to WBEN 930 and the Wolf Buffalo on Thursday, December 11th from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. for the SPCA Serving Erie County Radiothon presented by Trocare College. Do your part to help raise money for the over 12,000 animals being served by the SPCA each year and give them a chance at a healthy, happy life. This year, adoption fees for pets 6 months and older are half off. Big thanks to Picasso's Pizza and Paula's Donuts for fueling our volunteers this year. We'll take a time out, come back, and wrap things up here on the other side on the Norton Automotive Extra Point Show. Thanks, everyone, that's been listening in here today on the Norton Automotive Extra Point Show. Derek Kramer here with you. Joe Kelly on the board here with me and you. Thanks to everyone that's called in, or at least the last segment that called in. Thanks to Sal Capaccio, joined us as he's getting ready for practice. You'll be able to hear the latest, see the latest. Check him out at Sal Sports on Twitter. He'll also have the practice recap on our website at WGR550.com. By the way, Saturday, Bonaventure, UB, 8-1 versus 8-0. Big Four basketball is back, baby. And at Alumni Arena, the UB Bulls taking on the St. Bonaventure Bonnies. That's going to be an awesome game. It's on ESPN+. The matchup predictor right now heavily favoring St. Bonaventure as they would. But what a land Daniel Freitag has been for UB, the transfer from Wisconsin. My God. But I'm sure we'll be able to talk a little bit more about that. Joe, you and I will be back at it for Sports Talk Saturday this weekend. We'll talk to Bob Gaughan previewing this game as well. And then we're done right as that game tips off at 2 o'clock, so I feel very good about myself about that one. But that'll do it for us here. Sal's back in the chair tomorrow. Sabres Live is coming up next here on WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.